This song might be more recognizable to Americans as My Man, sung by Fanny Brice, but Fanny Brice just borrowed it from the performer who was the most famous French chanteuse of the first part of the 20th century, before Josephine Baker or Edith Piaf were celebrated. Her name was Mies ten Gaët.
Et même la nuit, quand je rêve, c'est de lui, de mon homme. Ce n'est pas qu'il est beau, qu'il est riche ni costaud, mais je l'aime.
A new show about one week in Mies ten Gaët's long life, torrid times, multiple loves, and many songs has opened in Paris. Trying to describe Mies ten Gaët is a bit like trying to capture Seabiscuit. You have to begin with the legs. They were tall, tawny, and well-endowed, if you please. Lloyd's of London's reportedly insured Mies ten Gaët's legs for $1 million. She needed a forceful pair of stems to carry her costumes. She performed adorned in sequins and feathers, topped off by headdresses that could rise 7 feet tall.
She was the only person who could descend a staircase with something like 80 or 90 pounds of feathers.
David Brett is one of Mies ten Gaët's biographers.
I mean, some of the feather headdresses, I felt them, and 15, 20 pounds of feathers on her head. Mm-hmm. And she would descend this, you know, maybe 40 or 50 steps of a very steep staircase at the Folies Bergère and keep perfectly still and keep this smile. And my godfather, who was a dancer, said that she was always swearing out of a corner of his mouth, you know, a mouth at him and saying, you take one step out of place and you'll break your so-and-so neck and all that kind of thing.
Mies ten Gaët's costumes were adornment for outrageousness. In 1897, when she was a 20-year-old music hall performer at the El Dorado in Paris, she sang her first solo in a quiet voice. When some in the audience began to shout, "Higher, higher," she obliged by hiking up her skirt and yelling back, "How much higher do you want it to go?" This was in a time when even a glimpse of a bare calf muscle was considered an affront to decency. Mies ten Gaët was born Jean Bourgeois in April of 1875 in the provincial town of Enghien. Her father was a Belgian who made mattresses and drank. Her mother was a seamstress who'd wanted to be an actress but had an accident and was left with a limp. Liliane Montevecchi is portraying Mies ten Gaët on stage in Paris this season. She says that Mies ten Gaët's stage appeal could be difficult to define.
She was not extremely pretty. She did not sing well. She didn't dance well.
Fax Mies ten Gaët was delighted to acknowledge once she became a major star and sang a song that mocked herself called C'est vrai, It's True.
Lorsque ça monte trop, moi je m'arrête. Et d'ailleurs on n'est pas ici à l'opéra.
They say I have a voice that drags whilst I'm singing my refrains, sang Mies ten Gaët. It's true.
She was aware of what things she couldn't do, and she took advantage of it. She made fun of it, and that's why she was loved, because she was not full of bullshit, if I may say so. But I love that song. I'm singing it. This is my first song when I come down the stairs, and I love it.
So you sing, They Say I Have a Voice Which Drags?
Absolutely.
But what Mies ten Gaët seemed to possess was a quality sometimes known in the theater as elf skin. People wanted to watch her. It was less a talent than a state of grace. Like another star of the era, Mae West, Mies ten Gaët's greatest performance was herself. Liliane Montevecchi says,
she had this aura, you see. She just burst. You know, some people are on stage and you don't see them, and some people are in the last row of a chorus and you see them. It's this aura and this charisma and this presence. And it poured out of her. And she was flirting with the audience constantly. She did everything to the audience so the audience could love her.
Mais fleurette jolie, oh, apporte à tous ces gens qui dansent un peu de poésie.
She had a child mind. She was not stupid at all, that's not what I mean. She was naive. She's like a little kid singing. And she had great truth in her singing. So everything, people said she was a little bit vulgar. It's not true. She was never, never vulgar. She was coquettish and a little bit mischievous, but never vulgar.
But Randy, perhaps, and persistently so. The French public of the 1920s and 30s was as intrigued with Mies ten Gaët's love life as Americans seem to be today with Madonna's. A number of her lovers were well known, including a young Maurice Chevalier. A greater number were plucked from among the dancers who accompanied her on stage. David Brett says,
she's supposed to have had round about 2,000 men and maybe 100 or so women. I mean, we don't know whether there was actually any sexual involvement with the women, but certainly there were with the men. The older she became, the younger the men seemed to get. And she didn't really care.
Au fond de tes yeux qui sont plus doux qu'une caresse, je devine mieux ce que tu penses, mon chéri.
Chevalier seems to have been the most notable of the loves of her life. They had mammoth arguments, followed by titanic trysts, succeeded by another argument. While Miss Dengette was profligate in her loves, she could be unsparing if any lover did not adore her exhaustively and exclusively. David Brett has an anecdote about one of them.
A favorite dancer was called Ladd, and he was American, and nobody knows anything about him at all except he was 6'5", very much like a Rock Hudson muscular type. And that affair ended badly when she caught him cheating on her, you know, with someone else, and she hit him across the face with her handbag. And Miss Dengette had a habit of stealing things. She always used to steal cutlery from restaurants, and this handbag was full of cutlery, and she broke his jaw in three places.
Did restaurants know that she helped herself to the cutlery?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, they did. I mean, there's an actor in France, a big actor called Gérard Depardieu, and he lives in her house. He told me that when he bought the house, they opened up the attic, mm-hmm. and they found something in the region of 3,000 towels that she'd stolen from the railways. And that it's actually on record that she sent one back because it had a hole in it. And she would steal anything. It had to be tied down. Anything had to be tied down.
A vraiment toutes les qualités qui peuvent me contenter avec ce millionnaire.
But no amount of wealth could ever make her feel rich. She amassed cars and a mansion without seeming to enjoy their opulence. She had a show bedroom designed by the artist Jean-Gabriel Domergue. It was a massive, shiny space of glass and mirrors. She said she wanted to be able to behold herself upon arising. But her bedroom was a place to show reporters. Miss Dengette may have slept there herself, with a friend, just once. She bathed in an old flea market tin tub in her kitchen. Her fleet of gleaming motor cars was kept locked up so as not to be smudged. If reporters came to see her for lunch, she served caviar and champagne, but for real friends, she preferred to serve just a few slices of Spam. Guests were advised to bring their own vegetables. If Miss Dengette had been British, she might have been called eccentric. David Brett says,
when she threw parties at her home, she would charge on the door for people to come in. You would have to pay.
And they did, though, didn't they?
Yes, they did. You know, she had this fabulous bed, which was all silver and gold, and she would recline on it when an important journalist came. Otherwise, she would sleep in a little cot in the attic, usually with a sheep or a monkey or whichever animal happened to be poorly at the time.
She did love animals, and she could be daring, maybe even outright brave, in her later years during the German occupation of France. The lyrics to her songs had to be approved by German propaganda officers, but Miss Dengette often ad-libbed to send messages out to members of the resistance. Or she reworked some sections into English, including a stanza of her song about finding a millionaire. Those English lyrics went, I'm feeling like a million, and when I get lots of cash, I'll grab old Adolf by the tash and kick him in the conker. Yes, I'm feeling like a million, and I know just what to do with the effing monkeys in his zoo. Then, says David Brett, the song got really vulgar. But Miss Dengette was so revered, and her resistance so strictly theatrical, that Nazi occupiers chose to put up with her puckishness.
One of the German generals came outside the house and demanded that she sing from the window, and she emptied the chamber pot on him.
Miss Dengette was 81 years old when she died in 1956, almost a full decade before Edith Piaf.
I think that's why when she died, she was given a state funeral. Miss Dengette, Piaf, Josephine Baker, they all did their bit during the war, considerably more than a lot of people think. Mm-hmm. And this is why they all got the Legion d'honneur and all kinds of things, and she's going to go down, I think, in history as something of a national heroine, a national institution.
And there was a majestic generosity, says David Brett, about Mies ten Gett, the performer.
She always played to the galleries, and she was never interested in the wealthy people that went over there. She was interested in the people from the street who would have to sit in the gallery, you know, in the tuppenny seats or whatever they were. And that was part of her magic.
The show in which Lilian Montevecchi stars as Mies ten Gett this May is a sellout. It is the first time that Mies Montevecchi has performed in Paris in 23 years, when she was the featured performer at the Folies Bergères. But so far, there are no reported plans to bring the production to London, New York, or Los Angeles. Mies ten Gett toured the United States and Britain in the 1930s and was popular. But in the end, says Lilian Montevecchi, Mies ten Gett remains a mostly French enthusiasm, difficult for Americans to cherish in quite the same personal way.
She couldn't speak a word of English, and she's just too French. It's, no, she was not a big star. Sarah Bernhardt was, but not Mies ten Gett.
Well, it's interesting because in the United States today, you can buy Edith Piaf's music, and which, of course, with the exception of one or two, is all in French, and, and people listen to it in French because she's Piaf, and people feel they don't need to know the, they don't need to know what the words mean to infer the feeling of Piaf.
Yeah, but Mies ten Gett never had recordings sent to America for them to listen to, and Piaf sings love. Piaf doesn't sing about herself. Mies ten Gett always does. You see, she sings about love, torments, and Mies ten Gett doesn't do that. Mies ten Gett is you know, it's all fanfare. Mies ten Gett is joy. It's you know, it's completely different.
Montevecchi's show, Mies ten Gett, The Last Review, is running at the Opéra Comique in Paris until May, and will tour elsewhere in France this summer. Do you have a favorite Mies ten Gett song?
No, I like them all. I like them all. I like J'en ai marre, which is toujours au turbin, du soir au matin, moi j'en ai marre, vivre sans amour, tous les jours, j'en ai marre. I like this one, I say. Tout Paris, tous les amis que j'aime sont ici et je sens en moi-même l'exquise sensation de ce petit frisson qui me parcourt de la tête aux talons. I love that one. C'est la joie de tous vous reconnaître. Et quand elle dit, vous, madame, vous étiez blonde. And I love all this. It's just such fun to sing. You know, it's like drinking a glass of champagne. And I love champagne.
But Mies ten Gett preferred tap water.